Welcome to River Edge Podcasts. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today.
Give the Lord some praise. Come on, He is worthy. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. Amen. Amen. Just lift your hands. We welcome your Holy Spirit again. Come into our presence. Come into our midst right now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Begin to heal. Begin to touch. Begin to deliver right now. Holy Spirit, come and do only what you can do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Have your way in this meeting. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our homes. Have your way in this church. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come right now. And everybody, come on, give Him one more time. Give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. Give Him a praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen, 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 amen. You may take your seats. It's such an honor to be here at River Edge. I've been asked recently by many places that I go, what's your favorite people to speak to? What's your favorite people to preach to? Is it older? Is it younger? Are you a youth speaker? Are you a young and old speaker? Are you a seniors preacher? Are you a big church, little church, small church, medium church? What do you like speaking to? And I said, you know what? Forget them all. I want a hungry church. I don't care what size it is. I've spoke to massive churches and they've got no hunger. I give me a hungry church. Give me a place which full of 12 people that are hungry, that want to see God move. And I'm telling you, River Edge Church, this is that church. This is a church that's hungry. This is a church that's wanting, that's needing, that desires. And I feel it. I sense it in this atmosphere. And your senior pastor is right. Don't take it for granted. Don't take that atmosphere for granted, because atmospheres shift and move. Come on. It moves the spirit. It moves. It breaks through. It breaks chains. It heals the sick. Atmospheres shift. They shift. They break off demonic chains and strongholds. You got to understand the power of the atmosphere. Don't ever take it for granted. And it's on your senior pastors, and I want to thank them and honor them, because if it wasn't for them, Pastor Stephen, Pastor Kylie, that your spirit rubs off on people, and the hunger is evident because of you and what you carry. So, come on, can we honor them tonight and thank them? And come on, the Bible says give honor where honor is due. And there is a hunger, there is a desire, there is a longing, a passion that is in this house that I don't see often. And it's because of you guys. So well done, well done, well done. And I'm not sure if many people with flowing hair have preached here before, because it's going all. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But praise God. I'm not sure either. I don't know. But I have a message for you tonight. And I want to flow off of our service we had before, our meeting we had before, and kind of go in the same thing. We did an evangelistic type message. Chat before, but I want to continue in that vein, and because I know that there's more people here, but I feel like you're to capture the same heart as well. And so if you got your Bibles, would you open them up to Matthew chapter 4? And it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Amen. Do you ever read the Bible and go, yep, I understand. He fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, and he was hungry. Now, it says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. Well, maybe I should do my devil voice. If you are the Son of God, command that the stones be made to bread, my precious. You know, it was straight from Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Give it to me, it's mine, my precious.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by sourdough alone. This is $9.50 for one loaf. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up onto the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands he shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. I mean, if he sounded like that, we'd all run, right? And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. Behold, angels came and ministered to him. I love this because for me, this message here, this moment in time is so significant. In the life, in the ministry of Jesus, he's just been with John the Baptist. He's just been baptized in the river. John baptized him, said, I'm not worthy to baptize. One is coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to tie. And he baptizes him. And it says the Holy Spirit descends like a dove upon him. And then he's taken into the wilderness. It says that the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Something transforms in him that day. Something changes in him from that moment. He receives a baptism of fire. And I've often wondered why it is certain people seem to have their lives worked out, seem to have things together, or, well, maybe they don't always. They seem to go through things, but they bounce back quicker than others. There's certain people on earth that you look at, you admire. Why is it that they seem to carry such gifts? Why is it they have such talents? Why is it that there is the William Branhams? How is it possible that there are the John G. Lakes? How is it possible that there's certain people that seem set apart? Why is it so that there's these guys, that these women around the world that carry such anointing? What is it about them? Have you ever wondered? What's the significance with them? How are they chosen? And tonight I have a message for you. It's called Sacrifice That Sets Apart. Certain people, it's not just luck. It's not just giftings and talents. It's not just hair or no hair. It's not about what you look like. It's got nothing to do with those things at all. It doesn't just happen. It's not just by chance. It's not que sera, sera, whatever will be. It's not a fluke. What is it about these people? How is it they seem to stand out from the crowd? How is it that God seems to put his hand upon them and use them to do so many miracles? See so many people saved. Talked about Reinhard Bonnke just before. How many people saved under his ministry? What an incredible man of God. Why is it him, not someone else? What is it about them? You know what? Scientifically, we're 99% identical. Each and every single one of us in this room. Doesn't matter where you're born. Doesn't matter what language you grow up speaking. Doesn't matter what color of your skin is. How much hair or not hair. It doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is that we are 99% identical. Our DNA structure. 99% identical. Do you know what separates us? 1% of our DNA tells us apart from each other, from the person next to you. Come on, look at the person next to you. There's only 99% of you is identical. 1% is different. You know what the 1% is? Your fingerprint. You're the only person on earth that has that fingerprint. It's what sets you apart from the person beside you. You know what I've noticed? That as I've gotten older, wiser, the longer you live, the more problems you go through. No one is exempt from problems. You can be the fittest, strongest, healthiest, whatever in life, but you're going to go through something. You're going to face things. You're going to go through hardships. You're going to go through trials. You're going to wind up in the emergency sometimes. You know what the difference between us and other people are? Is your fingerprint. It's the only thing, one of the only things that sets you apart from the person next to you, the way you handle things. The way you handle life is different from the person beside you. It's not just about your fingerprints, how you touch. It's how you handle things. Why is it that we can all go through stuff, each and every single one of us, but some seem to come back quickly, but others seem to be stuck there? It's how you handle it. You know what else is different from the person beside you? Look at them again. Look at the other person on the other side. Is your eye print. Look at their eye. It's completely unique to that person. No one on earth has the same retinal print that you carry. Yours is completely different. It separates you. Your eye print is how you see things. How you see the life around you. The Bible says it's the window to the soul. But it's what you envisage for your life. It's the future. It's the vision of your life. Without a vision, you perish. If you don't see a future, if you don't see a hope, why is it that so many go through so much trauma and trouble, but they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel? They can't see the hope. They can't see the vision, but others can. You go through the same stuff, but some can see a breakthrough. Some can see the light. Some can see a future. Some can see a hope. Oh, come on, somebody. You know what else is different about you? Your tongue print. I know it's a weird one. You stop sticking out. Nobody stick their tongues out of me. I've seen a few already. But it's completely unique to you. You're the only person that has that print. It's the way you speak. How you speak about the problem. How you speak about the issue. Or what about the future? Or what about right now? What about the situation that I'm in and I'm facing? How do you handle it? How do you see it? How do you speak about it? Determines a lot about your life. Determines a lot about how I will turn out, how my children will turn out, my family, my spouse, the generations to come from me by how I speak. I find this fascinating about us, that they're the only things that are actually scientifically different, is why we turn out so different. 99% of us are identical. We should all turn out identical. But it's those 1% that determine our future. It's those 1% of things that determine how we're going to get through things. What I've noticed is we'll all go through the fire. But it's whether you smell like smoke on the other side or not. It says here that, verse 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It hurts already. The Holy Spirit was the thing. Holy Spirit was the person that led Jesus to be tempted by the devil. Now, it makes you think a little bit differently when somebody says, I'm a Spirit-led person, doesn't it? Now, I know that when people say that, what they're meaning is my expression is. My expression of worship is this. My expression of worship is to do that. all different types of expressions. That's not Spirit-led. Spirit-led is being taken through the fire. Spirit-led is trials and tribulation. Spirit-led is going through the wilderness and going through the deserts. Spirit-led is going hungry. And you know what I find so interesting? We all go through stuff. We all go through deserts. We all go through wilderness places. But the problem I have is so many people say, you know, Pastor, I'm just going through another wilderness. I'm going through another desert. I'm going through another season. Listen to me. If you don't come out of that season more powerful than what you did when you went into it, guess what? You led yourself there, not the Holy Spirit. You know, there's something in your cycle. There's something in your life that you need to change, because it's not God leading you to that place. It's you leading you back through there. It's you leading you around and around and around. If you want to become Spirit-led, the thing is, it's not that you go through fires. It's not that you go through tribulations, that you go through trials. It's how you come out on the other side. If you still smell like smoke or not. Some people can't wait to show you their smoke story. You can smell them coming. You can smell it. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I've been through hell and back. I've been through this pastor, that church, this board, that member, that place. They hurt me. And you can smell the smoke. You're going to go through the fire. Everybody will. But what do you smell like on the other side? You can find that in Daniel 3. Yeah, it wasn't that they didn't go through the fire. They went through the fire. It says that they weren't even singed. Not a hair was singed. And it said that the fabric on their garments didn't even smell like smoke. Have you ever met a person like that? Gone through so much. Yeah, you wouldn't know it. You'd have no idea. Amen? Verse 2. And it says, and he had fasted. When he had fasted for 40 days, for 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him. And he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. I find this so interesting that Satan knew the very way to corrupt this moment, the very way to end this baptism of fire, was to get Jesus to eat. He knew that if he had eaten something, he knew that if he could get him to turn that stone into sourdough, if he could get him to turn that stone into fruit loaf, I don't know what your favorite is, but if he could get him to turn that into Vegemite and toast, that he knew, right, that it would all end that very moment. I don't know if you understand how powerful this is. Because Adam, did you know this? God gave him dominion. He gave Adam and Eve, he gave Adam dominion over this earth, over this planet, over the fields, over the animals, over everything in it. He gave him dominion. You know how Adam lost dominion? He lost it by eating. Jesus regains it by fasting. You don't understand how powerful fasting is. It's not just about, oh, I'm afraid, I better not eat because I'm fearful of what might happen to me. Don't fast out of fear. Fast out of obedience. Fast out of dominion. See, when you fast, you regain dominion over your family, over your life, over your body, over your house, over your children. It's not just about, oh, okay, we're doing this for this reason or for that reason. No, it gains you authority in the kingdom. You have kingdom authority when you begin to fast. Adam lost all dominion by eating. Jesus regains it through fasting. You want to regain dominion over your family, over your life? I'm telling you right now, the keys are right there. It's through fasting. Come on, it's time to dethrone King's stomach. It's time to regain dominion over your life. Come on, over your health, over your body, over your children's bodies, over their health, over their lives. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm telling you right now. And I mentioned this before, but in Matthew 17:17, it says, however, this kind, 21, it says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. He's talking about a spiritual kind. We talked about atmospheres before. He is the prince of the power of the air. What's the air? The air is the atmosphere. And if you want to shift that atmosphere, I'm telling you right now, it's time to fast and pray. Because when you fast and pray, you don't deliver a blow to the person beside you or around you or behind you. No, you shift a spiritual atmosphere over a region, over a city, over a street, over a neighborhood, over a community, over a state, over Australia. There's different levels and different devils. And if you want to bind them, if you want to break them, you need to fast and you need to pray. Hallelujah. Is this all right? I feel like this is a different type of meeting, but I feel like I'm going for it. I don't know why. There's two types of fasts in the Bible. A full fast and a partial fast. That's it. I went to a church once and one person fasted for 21 days from his SS club sport. I'm glad you think that's funny. It would have worried me if you all had a gone, so what's wrong with that? That's perfectly normal. And so you got to understand, fasting is food. I know, there's more revelations to come tonight. No, seriously. If you went to your doctor and he said, listen, you're booked in, you got surgery tomorrow. You need 48 hours of fasting, okay, complete fasting. And you go there, Callum, you go there and your belly's full and it's still growling, still digesting, it's still moving. And he said, have you fasted? And you said, yeah. I didn't go on social media once all night. You know what? He's going to send you to a different hospital. My doctor once told me, didn't you invent fasting? I was like, who? He goes, Christians. I went, yeah, I guess. We're probably, yes. You're God, you're Jesus. Yeah, yeah. So it is food, right? It is food. Come on. We need to get back to this. It's one meal. It's two meals. It's a period of time. That's what it is. So that nobody leaves here going, I'm not sure. Like, should I, you know, put my phone? Like, break habits. That's fine. Breaking habits is fine. Breaking habits is good, but whether you should do a burnout in your club sport or not, I'm not sure if you're going to gain any authority in the kingdom, whether you do that or not. Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Do you know your worship is powerful? The devil wants it. He thinks he can steal it from Jesus. You need to understand something, that your praise and your worship is a weapon in the kingdom. It is a weapon of warfare for tearing down strongholds, for gaining authority, for putting your stake in the ground and saying, guess what? I'm here for a fight. You know what? This is how we fight our battles, through praise, through worship, through prayer, and through fasting. We don't fight against flesh and blood. You want to know what our weapons are? It's praise and worship. What does it say here? Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Have you ever had to sacrifice in praise? Have you ever had to praise but you didn't feel like it? Have you ever had to praise and felt like it cost you everything? You didn't want to. I'm not talking about, you know, mourning and sometimes when we worship, you can often get in that place of sorrow, and you can still stay sad and still stay depressed and still stay mourning and weeping. But joy, it says, joy comes. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There comes a time where you got to praise. And it's hard to praise when you feel like that. It's hard. This is why it's called a sacrifice. I remember going to the doctor and being told all these sorts of things about myself and my body that I wasn't ready to hear. I remember going to emergencies and panicking and being in moments of just of total heaviness and grief and being so sad and feeling like there's no way out. I don't understand this. I don't know what I'm going through, but being in a panic attack, being in all these sorts of moments of heaviness, of breakdown, and going, Lord, I feel like crying right now. Well, I probably was weeping on my knees, crying. Now, I can fast and cry and mourn and cry out to God in the same manner, but can I praise? I remember doing this for quite some time and being like, just not getting the breakthrough. And feeling horrible, feeling heavy, feeling like the burdens and the weights of the world on my shoulders, and I just have no escape. And yet again, I'll go down and be on my knees, be on my face, be fasting, be praying, and just not getting there, not getting there, not getting there. I remember God said, when was the last time you danced? I said, Lord, you don't want to see this, and I don't want to see this. But I tell you, I stop. Now, I'm not a dancer. And when God challenged me on this, I'm like, Lord. And this scripture of David dancing and leaping. And it says with twirls. And I'm like, God, no. I feel horrible. My whole world is crashing down. I never had people like, I'm doing funerals, people are dying, and yet I'm feeling depressed and I'm feeling upset and I feel like there's no hope at all. And you're telling me to twirl? River Edge, I'm telling you, this is your breakthrough. This is your breakthrough. You want the breakthrough? It's time to dance. I'm telling you, you want the breakthrough? It's time to leap. It's time to, come on, it's time to praise Him. It's time to twirl. It's time to leap, jump for joy. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord. Clap your hands, all your people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, a voice of victory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. No say so, no redemption. He's the high priest of our confession. Don't underestimate the power of your confession. Don't make Him high priest or Lord over something you don't want to have come to pass. It's time to leap. It's time to shout. It's time to praise Him. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Because there's one scripture, Psalms 27, verse 6 says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. Oh, you're telling me to be happy? You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what the doctors have said. Have you ever been there laid up in the hospital with everything rigged up to you and God saying, be joyful? Hallelujah. That's why it's called a sacrifice, because it costs you something. It not only costs you something, it costs you everything. And what does Paul say? He goes even further. I bring up my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, this is the sacrifice that sets apart. You want to be set apart? You want to be consecrated to Him? It's time to fast. It's time to pray. Come on, it's time to be Spirit-led. It's time to offer up a sacrifice of praise. I don't know, but this is a very uplifting word. I'll get funnier and looser as we get along the week, okay? Amen. Amen. bring up a sacrifice of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. It's almost like telling yourself. I will sing. I will praise the Lord. Have you ever had to tell yourself off? If your wife doesn't do it for you first, you have to do it. Boop, boop, boop. Right? I will do these things. Hallelujah. It says here, verse 4. And he says this throughout, but I'll just read verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from mum's mouth. No, from dad's mouth, aunties, uncles, the government, the news, the bad news, your apps, TikTok, reels. No, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word is powerful. It's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. The word is everything. You want to overcome? It says that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And they did not love their lives unto the death. You know what the devil's afraid of? He's only afraid of one thing. That's a committed Christian. Someone that doesn't love their life unto the death. Somebody that will give it all. That will live for him. Live for Jesus. He's not afraid of anything else. Somebody that has paid that price. Hallelujah. I hope you're learning something tonight. The sacrifice that sets apart. Live by the word. Come on, it's the word. It's the only thing that will save you in that dark time. It's the only thing that will rescue you when you're up in bed and you can't sleep again and you're getting terrorized, you're getting traumatized. You can't sleep again night after night after night. You're hearing voices now. You're seeing things now. Things are going bump in the night. What will save you in that moment is not a reel. Even if it's my preaching. A TikTok, it's not going to help you. What's going to help you is the word. It is written. Come on, when that devil comes up at you again and he tries his hardest to shake you, he tries his hardest to make you sick, he puts these things on you and your family and he puts a target on your back and comes after you, what do you do? What do you say? Do you run and flee? No, the Bible says resist him. It is written. Devil, it is written. And what does he say? It is written again. Keep on saying it is written. Come on, until he flees, until he gives up, until he says, you know what, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, but wrong address. I'm going to try somebody else. Keep on saying it is written. The only thing you should flee from, the Bible says, is sexual immorality. When it comes to the devil, stand your ground. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but every word of God stands forevermore. Come on, somebody. His word will last forever. This earth will perish. This earth will dissolve. This earth will end. But guess what? His word shall remain. That's why the devil's not afraid of anything but the word in the mouth of a committed Christian. Amen. Who wants to be set apart tonight? Set apart. Spirit-led. Fasting and prayer. Praise and worship. Even in the toughest days. Even when the whole world, what does it say? Shifting sands, sinking sands, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Build your house on the rock. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Amen. And live by his word. Hallelujah. His word. And I want to finish tonight, if the band could come. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." I hope you understand the heart of this message tonight. That your obedience far outweighs whatever sacrifice you can bring is in the... He was talking about, obviously, of works and of what I could bring and what I could do for God. But obedience of heart. Not just saying things. Not just saying I will and never doing anything, but believing, stepping out by faith. Even though everything around you seems like it's shifting sand. Even though everything around you feels like it's breaking down and falling apart, I stand firm. I stand on the solid rock. I keep on praising in the darkest days. I keep on worshiping. That obedience to his word, that lifestyle of obedience, far outweighs any sacrifice I can bring. And tonight, I want to do a call for those who want to be set apart, who want to live differently, a life pleasing, holy. Like you said before, holiness. And it's really interesting to me. Just recently, I got the honor, the privilege of going to Bonnie Bray House, which is where the Azusa Street Revival broke out. And you know, I'd heard stories and I was a bit skeptical of what people were saying, and I saw things and I thought, oh, well, I don't know what it would be like for myself. But the pastors there didn't know anything about it that were hosting us. We talked about this sort of stuff all the time, Beck and I, and they said, hey, we've got a surprise for you tomorrow. We're going to take you to Bonnie Bray House. And it was pretty much, I don't know, it's not a real nice place in LA, downtown LA, and it's a bit ghetto-y, to be honest. There's bomby cars and small houses, tight streets, and it just seems a little bit underwhelming, to be honest. We parked the car some ways down the street, began to walk up. These people had never been there before. They knew no history of William Seymour. They didn't know anything about him. They didn't know anything about Azusa Street. But as we drew closer to this place, we all started bawling. And it was just like, what is going on? We didn't even know where it was. We're like, there was a bunch of nuns there, wasn't there? There was like a group of nuns like praying out the front of it. And we walked up and all of a sudden, the anointing fell. And we just couldn't stop crying. And I'm looking at these people and they're looking at me. They're bawling. They don't know why. We put our hands on the place and began to cry, and all of a sudden we just all started prophesying over LA, over America, over the globe again, about there'd be another wave, there'd be another move. But this overwhelming feeling that I haven't had before was holiness. A heavy weight of glory, of his glory, but of holiness. He's looking for a holy people. He wants to pour out his spirit. But he's looking for a church. He's looking for a beautiful bride. It's not being hit by the ugly stick. Or has fallen out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. No, he's looking for a beautiful bride. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for us. Without blemish. He's coming back. He died for you. He died for the church. So that we may live forever with him. But he's looking for a beautiful bride, one that's holy, without blemish. And that feeling, I'll never forget it. It reminds me all the time. Just now and then, I just remember it. Holiness, holiness. I've never felt it in a meeting before. And I've been in some serious meetings. Nothing like that, just on the side of a dirty LA street. Something that happened 100 years ago. Yeah. just resonated in the very walls, the rock, the streets. Somebody, 5, 6, 7 people cried out to God, just were hungry, asking for what it says in Joel, that you would pour out your spirit again on all flesh. Begin to prophesy, see visions and dreams, speak in a new tongue that they had never heard before. And all of a sudden, that outpouring came, and over 700 million people today can attest they're in filling, speaking in tongues to Azusa Street. Oh Lord, even just a drop of that in Mildura. Yeah, even just 700,000. Come on, just 70,000. Oh, well, it just seems insignificant now. You start going down the numbers, but Lord, let it be in this city, in this nation, in Victoria. Let there be an outpouring of your spirit. Let there be an outpouring of your anointing, of your presence that's so strong. Not just one person, two people, but a whole city is moved. A whole nation wakes up, arises, wakes up, sees your people humbling themselves, seeking your face. I feel His anointing here right now. I feel that holiness again, that Spirit. Come on. If you're here tonight, you say, hey, I want to be set apart. I want to be set apart. Would you stand to your feet right now all across this place? Set apart for His glory. Set apart as a display. Yeah, come to the front if you want to come. Come to the front right now. Come to the front. You want to see a revival? Come on, a revival doesn't just start with the people out there. It starts with you and I, right here, in here. A revival of heart. A revival of faith. Restore us. Renew us. Revive us, Lord. Revive us, Lord. Revive us, Lord.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to know more about service times or simply want to find out more about church, head to our website, riveredgechurch.com.au.